What?
Talk to Brandon.
Okay, I'll talk to Brandon.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Coach Dan has his hand up.
It's funny you should be mentioning all the places we're located because you're going to be mad at me.
What'd you do?
I went back to using the Apple Podcast app.
No!
I found that I don't mind it, and the flexibility that I can get with that, I like better than Overcast. I think, is that the one that you used?
I use Overcast as I don't turn my phone to vibrate because I am a I am a professional.
So I was using Overcast. I like it. I don't like that I can't. There's some setting over the weekend that I was like, I don't like I can't do that, and I know I could do it on the Apple Podcast, so I'm going back to that one.
I'm a simple man. I have simple tastes. I just need a little 10-second, 15-second jog forward, jog back so I can get past commercials.
I have that.
And just download. And then that's all I need. That's all. I don't need you to tell me, hey, since you liked this, you might also like this. I don't need any of that.
Oh, I don't know. I think I turned off notifications, so they don't do that to me.
Yeah. I don't need automatic downloads. I will do it myself.
Ooh,
I don't
need that. I like for certain ones. Caps this morning, automatic download, because I will 100% forget. And then I'll get in the car and I'll be like, oh, now I got to drive to work and listen to music.
Sirius XM Turbo, all of the best new metal and alternative from the early 2000s. But anyway, we're not here to talk about podcasts, or we're not here to talk about that, but we're here to talk about the Capitals. You remember like 2 weeks ago where like the biggest concern was, what's wrong with the Caps? Why aren't they playing well? What's going on? Remember that world, you know, before, like, that was our biggest concern? Because I'm gonna be frank with you guys. We're going to get into other stuff besides hockey on this podcast, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. But crazy, crazy times we're living in. We're going to try to entertain you as much as possible. But let's talk about the Capitals. They're not doing well. They started off the year 2022 losing a lot. They continued that trend through February. Now we're in the third month of the year. And the Capitals, I mean, for a very long time, it seemed like the top four, top eight of the Eastern Conference, top four of the division were kind of all figured out. But there's a lot of chatter going on right now that the Capitals, I mean, there's only 30 games left. They might be looking in the rearview going, you know, objects may appear larger than they actually are or something, whatever that saying is. Like,
it gets closer.
Gets closer, that's it. It gets closer.
Which technically then makes them larger.
Right, yeah. So it's like that T-Rex in Jurassic Park. So
mm-hmm. Great movie.
Which the new one actually looks pretty good, Dinosaurs in the Snow. But anyway, that's what we can call this team, Dinosaurs in the Snow. That's the name of this episode.
There you go. They're bringing the band back together in the next one.
That's right.
I mean, look, they were in first place at the start of 2022.
Right.
They are now in fourth place, and Columbus is right on their butt.
Yeah, it's that T-Rex right in the rear view. That's what Columbus
they
are, is.
There is a very real possibility that this team does not make the playoffs. They are, as we're recording on, what is this, Wednesday night?
Wednesday the 2nd.
They are... My daughter's 1 month old today.
Congratulations.
They are... Thanks, man. 8 points up on Columbus. With Columbus has a game in hand. So that's a problem. I mean, you're looking at four games behind. Three games if they win their game in hand. That's... I mean, Columbus is very much on their butt. And this is a team that has played horrible. No, that's dramatic. Really not good since the start of the new year.
Horrible's about right.
I mean, they're not getting the goaltending. They're not getting special teams, but they are. It's gotten better. The special teams, they've got 8 power play goals in their last 11, 5 in their last 6. They're getting shorthanded opportunities, shorthanded goals. So special teams is turning around a little bit. I still think they need a new person in charge of that. This season would be great. Next season would be fine at this point, if that's what we're going to do. Might be more than just one coach that's coming in next season. Yeah. But they're not getting enough goal scoring. I mean, there's a real possibility that they don't make the playoffs.
Very good possibility of that. But like you said, the special teams are kind of doing their thing. They're getting better. That was a big complaint that we had for a long time. But how much of that has to do with the fact that TJ Oshie's back on the ice?
I mean, he helps.
Big time.
From his energy, his style of play, to where he plays on the ice, what he brings to this team, they can't replicate with anybody else. Well, the energy probably with Ovechkin, but
Ovi's got a lot going on right now.
Well, that's true. But I mean, I'm thinking like over the past couple of years, right, that sort of crazy Ovechkin that Mike Green tried to get away from when celebrating after a goal. Like that dude he's mellowed a bit. You know, he's got 2 kids now. He's married. He's in his mid 30s. You know, he's not going out clubbing anymore. It's too loud. He wants to get home, put his feet up, have a nice cup of tea. No, you know, and so I think having Oshie out there, I mean, the better players you have, the better your power play is going to be and your penalty kill. Like, that's just a given. So having a top-line player like TJ Oshie definitely helps this team. There's possibility, I know it was talked today in GM Brian McClellan's press conference, that I think Laviolette was saying that they think Anthony Mantha could be back.
Saying they could be back against Carolina on Thursday.
Yeah. We'll see. That'd be pretty quick. And I think you don't want to rush him back, because if you're fighting to get into the playoffs, and this team very much is, then you need him to be healthy. You can't afford to bring him back too soon. It's not the playoffs. You know, you need to get to the playoffs first. You need him to be healthy to help you in that run to the playoffs, and then hopefully a long run through the playoffs. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if he did not play on Thursday night against Carolina. But I think he's almost back, and I think every guy that they get back that's supposed to be a top-line player, it can only help. It can't be much worse. You know, they could come back and be terrible, and Mantha could, you know, not score any goals. Oshie could play terribly. And, you know, it just means that they're going to be doing as bad as they're doing already. So what they need is they need their top-line guys to step up. They need some of the guys on the bottom 6 to step up, and we think that fourth line has been doing well.
Well,
it's taken a bit of a hit now.
Yes.
With Hagelin.
Literally took a hit.
Yeah, Hagelin in the last practice, or the last drill of practice the other day, he's out with an eye injury. He's out indefinitely with an eye injury.
Took a stick to the face.
Was it a stick? He took a stick to the face. He's going to need surgery. So I think he's out for the season, barring another doctor being like, what is that guy talking about? Like, you just need to go put an ice pack on it and you'll be fine. Like, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think we're probably not going to see Hagelin for the rest of the season. Maybe I'm being a little pessimistic.
And for the longest time, you and I were saying he was trade bait. He was the guy that we wanted out of here and get something back for.
I don't know if he was trade bait so much as he was going to be traded.
So,
like, I don't think there's any other team out there going, I think we need some Carl Hagelin.
Well, here's the thing. Carl Hagelin, we've been really unhappy with Carl Hagelin the last couple months, like for the whole season, really. He has been our scapegoat, saying this guy, he's got to go. He's not doing his thing. But he was tied with Yevgeny Kuznetsov for points the last 2 months.
Yeah, he's been doing well lately.
I mean, he really picked up his game, yeah. What is going on at Caps practice? Everyone gets hurt at Caps practice. Have you noticed that? Like, Sammy got hurt during Caps practice.
Yeah, but he's made out of pieces of wet paper mache and, like, I don't know, something really breakable.
he's Sam Jackson from that movie.
Samsonov, both of them, Samsonov and Vanacek, both can't stay healthy. As soon as they start playing well, something happens to them. I think that's why the team needs to go out and acquire a goalie. In McClellan's press conference today, he was talking about that in terms of, you know, that's a possibility that they're looking before. I think he was alluding to the fact that they were trying to get Marc-Andre Fleury, but Fleury wasn't interested. It's fine. And so he talked about, oh, well, there's maybe one or two other goalies that we really think are out there that we could get. And I'm like, well, I mean, maybe there could be better players, but or other goalies you could go and get. I don't know who, but I'm not a general manager. That's not my problem. That's his problem, and that's something that he needs to solve.
I mean, everyone's saying let's bring back Holpe. Brian McClellan, he's saying today that, oh, they're not going to be very aggressive at the trade deadline. But I feel like you've got
I don't know how true that is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's just trying to psych everybody out, saying, like, you know, it's like when you go to a car dealership and you're like, ah, I'm not really that interested in that really nice Mercedes over there. You don't want to sell me that. Like, maybe he's trying to play one of those deals here, but there's a lot of holes to fill on this team, and everyone's hurt, and no one can stay healthy. Even guys like Joe Snively, who has been lighting the world on fire, he's missed the last two practices because he's had an injury that has finally caught up with him. Local kid, really starting to show off. He's done really well this season, but just looked absolutely – I mean, he's hurt the last two practices, so he wasn't there for that. So it looks like the Capitals are going to have to go back down on the farm once again to fill a couple of those spots, especially Carl Hagelin. We know that's going to now have to have a spot filled.
And what if that's Jonathan Fjällby's opportunity?
You think so, Jonathan Fjällby? I mean
– it's a hair-for-hair switch, you know?
That's true. That's true. He's got the lettuce.
I mean, it could work. I mean, Snively, hopefully he's back. Dude's, I mean, he's got 7 points, 4 goals, 3 assists in 12 games. That's pretty good. You know, I think he definitely has taken great advantage of this opportunity, and hopefully he can go ahead and continue doing that and stay healthy. But if Mantha is able to return, you know, then he can fill in for, you know, one of the spots of someone who's, you know, not Hagelin's spot per se, but he's taking that roster spot. And then, you know, maybe you do have to call somebody up. Maybe you do call up an Axel Janssen Fjällby or someone from Hershey to be able to, you know, Leeson or – is Leeson still on the roster at the moment? I can't – they keep bringing these guys up and down. It's so hard to keep track of who's where. But I think Leeson's down. So it's either him or Protas they potentially bring up and have them fill in and kind of see what the team does from there. But McClellan was talking about how, you know, the roster constantly fluctuating – in terms of who's up and who's down is probably a big issue or a big reason in terms of why they're at where they're at right now. And I was like, other teams have the same issue, buddy, and they're doing well. So I'm not buying it.
Let's switch gears here a little bit. Looking at the everything going on with the Capitals, they've lost 6 straight at home. What's going on? Why can't they win at Capital One Arena? They've done, you know, okay on the road. They're a little bit more of a threat on the road. We were talking, I think it was just last episode, that these guys kind of thrive on being the bad guy. But what is it about Capital One Arena right now? Are they just too comfortable? Like, there's no rhyme or reason why these losses are happening at home to me.
I mean, it is a bit weird in terms of the fact that they just can't win a home. I mean, this was a rink. This was an arena that was a fortress for them. They were dominant at home. Wasn't there one season in the Young Guns era where they never lost at home? Where they went an entire season without a regulation loss.
Oh, that's an interesting stat. I got to look that up.
I could be wrong. Or they went a really long time without a regulation loss. But they used to be dominant at home. Now they've lost 11 of their last 14 at home. They have lost 6 straight. I mean, I was listening to Caps this morning. John Walton had Joe Beninati on. He was talking about how we haven't seen a run this poor at home since 2007.
That's a long time.
Which, by the way, if I'm doing my math correctly, what is that, 14 years ago, 15 years ago?
That's when I graduated from college.
That, me too. That's, I mean, it's crazy.
You were 07 too?
I was winter.
Ah, okay.
You were,
yeah,
you
yeah,
were
yeah.
The spring. Yeah,
that's true.
I had two more classes I had to take.
Right. Okay. I hear you.
3 more classes I had to take? Whatever it was. No, 3. Anyways. So, it's terrible at home right now. And it's tough to say exactly what it is. I don't think it's the environment. It's not like having these many fans back in the stands and they're like, what the? Who's making all this noise? You know, and they're freaking them out. It's like, they should be used to this by now. This shouldn't be an issue. And so for them to like be struggling this much at home, I think it's more a reflection upon the season itself,
right,
and how this team is playing. I mean, I don't think it's like something's wrong with Capital One or something is wrong with how they're doing at home. I think it's just a reflection of the season and how poor they've been since the start of the new year. At home, they're 12-11-5. So they had a really good home record up until recently. On the road, they're 16-7-4. So to me, that shows, you know, they're playing well on the road still, but they're really only getting their wins right now on the road. Their last 10, they're 4-6. And the Caps are now on a 3-game losing streak. This is a team that needs to, you know, they need a spark. They need to be a jump start. They need something to get them going. You know, maybe the Toronto game, even though they just kind of crapped out in the end, maybe the Toronto game is one where they made that comeback that kind of gives them a little bit of a spark going forward. But it's not necessarily getting any easier. I saw it somewhere. It might have been Russian Machine to put this out or Japers Rink that they have like the fifth hardest schedule the rest of the way.
It's a rough one. It's 2 months left, and it is not a lot of days off. I mean, we were complaining January and a little bit of February about all of this time that these guys were missing, and this next 2 months, I mean, this is a ton of hockey to play, and if these guys are getting hurt in practice, imagine what it's going to be like when they're playing, you know, 3-4 times a week. It's going to be extremely tough on these guys, but let me ask you, we're talking about these guys needing a spark and something's got to give for them. Is it they're constantly playing from behind? Is it the fact that these guys like can't get the first goal to save their lives, or they can't hold on to a lead? Sorry, because it just seems like these guys are letting early goals in constantly. They're constantly trying to be like the underdogs and play from behind, but they're just not getting it done. Because it's kind of scary. Even if they do have a lead, I'm still sitting there as a fan going, I don't think they can hold on to this.
I think a lot of that is mental, where sometimes maybe you can see this somewhat with younger players. I think we saw this with this Caps team. I remember a game specifically during the early-ish to mid part of the Young Guns era where they went to Edmonton and they went down like 3-0 or 4-1 or something like that. And they ended up winning the game 7-4, 6-3, something like that, where they came back. And I think part of that is when you're younger, you don't have as much. You haven't played in the league as long, as you don't have as much memory in terms of like, well, this is how a game goes along. You're just out there playing and throwing pucks around and trying to win every game, which you obviously trying to do later. But it's a different level because you don't have the same experience. This team right now, they just look tired. And I know they're one of the older teams in the league, but that's not really an excuse. I mean, you're tired, but you're all in your 30s.
Yeah, like, it's man, rough.
You know, we've seen plenty of teams that, I mean, it was only a few years ago they won the cup. So there have been plenty of other teams that have played well where they've had their core. And I mean, given these a lot of good players, but look at the Red Wings towards the end of their dominant run. You know, they still had really good teams. There's no real excuse for this team right now to be this poor. And if it's the players, if they're not doing it, then it's on the general manager. Well, first it's on the coach to get more out of the players than he's getting. Then it's on the general manager to make sure that if they're not going to do it, I'm going to go find someone who will.
And I really do hope that they find someone who can kind of set that spark and do the thing and get everything to get goal scoring happening, because they're just not scoring enough goals. Ovi, Tom Wilson, I mean, he loves play against Toronto. We saw that earlier. But I'm hoping with the fact, I mean, we've been saying this all year. Oh, if this guy comes back, then things will right the ship. If this guy comes back, it'll fix things. We're down to Anthony Mantha.
Mantha, hold on. I feel like we haven't seen enough of Mantha to really get a fair glimpse in terms of who this guy is. But the thing that really annoys me is, I mean, we talk about how, you know, we keep talking about how they need someone back, or they keep talking about how they need someone back. Well, lately they keep talking about whether it's a different player, the coaching, McClellan, whoever it is. After every game that they lose, I feel like someone comes out and says, well, they just need to do better. First of all, no kidding. Yeah. Second of all, how many people need to say this before someone actually does something about it? Right? Like, what, Brandon, what is the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over and over again. That's how we got to 320 episodes.
Well, I think you forgot the second part of the saying, though, buddy.
What's that?
It's doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
That's right
now, the Capitals are insane. They're doing the same thing over and over, and they keep saying the same lame excuse for why they're not playing well, but they're not fixing it. Ovechkin comes out and says it. Backstrom comes out and says it. Wilson will say something. Carlson, well, we need to fight harder. We need to go more for the pucks. If you know that's the freaking problem, then freaking do something about it. Stop going over. That or come up with a different excuse after every game. Like, I don't care if the PR team prepares them in advance. You get to pick which one you want to use. Fine, whatever. But right now, you just look like idiots because you're all saying the same thing, expecting it to get better. It's not going to get better until someone puts on their big boy pants and goes to work. And that's not, they're not doing that right now. They're just doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. They're insane, and we're all insane for thinking this is going to change, as you know, from what we've seen so far. There's nothing that I have seen, with the exception of that bit of good play, a fair bit of good play in the game, the loss to Toronto, that makes me go, we might have something here. I'm not seeing it from this team right now. I'm not seeing a lot that's going to, or really anything that's going to tell me, oh, okay, I can see how they can get there. If this team makes the playoffs, they're potentially going up as Carolina in the first round.
Yep, that'd be who they are up against if it ended today.
That's a sweep for Carolina, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I don't see how we're getting past them. We talked, I don't know, a week or so ago about how, oh, well, maybe they just kind of took their foot off the gas and they're going to pick it up when they get, you know, in the playoffs. You may not be going to the playoffs because Columbus is on your butt. But also, is it really that easy to just put your foot down and keep and go? I don't think so.
Is it a bad coaching fit?
I mean, that's tough to answer because we're looking at a chunk of the season right now. We're looking at a 2-month chunk of the season. If you asked me this question a few months ago, it's like, no. Maybe the power play, but no. You know, this is working out really well. If you ask me now, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, I think Laviolette should be out. You can get rid of all of them. Not Brett Lienhart. That dude's a hero. But everybody else, get out. Right? The guys behind the bench, let's start it new because it's not working. Power play has been pretty garbage. They're not getting the most out of the players that I feel like they should be. You know, maybe the Islanders decide to move on from Trotz after their garbage season. Caps can bring them back. Let's get the band back together.
Let's get the band back together. Bring there in Holtby. Bring in Trotz.
Okay, the Holtby one could be legit. I don't think the Trotz thing's going to happen. I think the Islanders is kind of, the season's a bit of a wash after their weird start. But we'll see what they do with the deadline. That'll be telling. If the Islanders really, like, go for a fire sale, that could be telling in terms of, like, whether they think they had a legitimate shot or not. But the Caps, you know, one, I don't think it should be a fire sale, but they need to do a bit of retooling in the offseason. But first, let's get through this season, and let's not play like crap. And getting through this season means stop coming with the same excuse, because if you know what the issue is, then fix it. And if you do fix it and you're still playing like crap, then that's not the issue. It's something else. Second is go get a goalie. Don't give me the excuse that, like, there's only one or two guys available. No, there's 31 other teams. Pick one and try and go after him. Most of them will say no, but McClellan's on this press conference saying, and he has to say this. He's not going to come out there and be like, our goalies suck. We need new ones.
Well,
that's not going to help the guys in the locker room.
We saw Vitek come back. He was out since the beginning of February. He went down to Hershey, played a conditioning game on, I think it was Sunday, and then he came back in relief of Sammy on Monday. So he played some back-to-back games. He took off Tuesday for practice. He looked sharp for a guy that hadn't played a lot in a month. But like you said, these guys are fragile, and it seems as if one of them starts to go on a run, something happens, and they get hurt. So I don't know. These guys just seem, of the two, I think Vitek's your guy right now. It's his on. It's like the revolving door, you know, it's that you get stuck in when you go to, like, you know, Carrabba's or something like that. That revolving door, you just get stuck in that thing. Vitek seems to be the guy right now. We'll see. I have to assume he's going to be the guy up against Carolina on a Thursday.
Neither one of them is the guy.
Neither one of them seems like the guy. You know who Sammy reminds me of? He reminds me a lot of Varley. He reminds me a lot of Varlamov, a guy who at times showed some brilliancy and at times didn't look good at all. Looked like a KHL goaltender who would really shine at the, you know, not even one of the world's best leagues. So it's, I definitely see Sammy and Varley kind of doing their same thing. They'll be with the Capitals for a little bit, and then they'll go somewhere else, and there's somebody else's problem. Showing promise, does it ever develop in anything? I still doubt it with Sammy, but there is some hope out there from some other people, me not one of them. But I know he's young and blah, 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 blah. right now, VTech's the guy until our show next week where Sammy will be the guy.
Neither one's the guy, man. It's just, it's not.
I think they're the guys to back up.
I think and maybe they are the guy in a year or two, but they're not the guys this season. They're not the guys now. And McClellan has to go and he has to look at this roster and go, is this a team that can make a run in the playoffs?
No. All right. Well, what else is going on in Caps world? Not the whole world. What else is going on in Caps world?
There was some Caps news as we signed somebody, but not for this season. Yes.
Oh.
But not for this season as they signed forward Henry Rabiski to an entry level contract. That contract starts next season, however. So this kid's 20 years old. He was the top CHL free agent. So that's pretty good that they're actually able to bring someone in that looks like he might have some talent. He is currently playing for the Seattle Thunderbirds.
That's a cool name.
I like it better than the Kraken. He was a fifth-round pick by the Florida Panthers back in 2019. And this season, he's got 54 points in 39 games for Seattle. So that's pretty good. Yeah, I think he's like 6'2", but he's only like 185. So he's a little bit of a lanky guy. He's going to need to fill out with some muscle and some mass over the next couple seasons. My guess is he starts next season in Hershey, and they'll see what they have there, unless he has a really good camp. But you know what? This is one of those, you know, high-reward, low-risk moves that you can make. It's not going to cost you a ton. We'll see how he does. And I think, you know, it's great to have be able to bring in these – these talented players. He's from Vancouver, so it's not like they had the hometown opportunity to bring him in and sort of have that like growing up feeling. He was a guy that looks like they wanted to get. He's someone that's highly thought of in the NHL world. And I don't know if that's highly thought of in terms of he's going to be a top six player, but you know, it's another prospect to bring in. He's a young guy, and we'll see how he does.
I mean, let's see what happens. Like you said, low risk, high reward. It's all there. It's all up to him at this point. So congrats on becoming a Capital. We'll see if you actually wear a sweater one day. So now the show's going to get a little heavy.
I think we have to at least bring this up.
We have to talk about this. So obviously, everyone knows what's happening in the world right now. Russia invaded a neighboring country, the Ukraine, and unprovoked, and obviously the Washington Capitals are one of the teams that has the most Russians on its team, one of them being the face of our franchise, Alexander Ovechkin.
One of the faces of the league.
One of the faces of the league. He's been in this league 14 years. You think NHL nowadays? I mean, obviously everyone knows Wayne Gretzky, but if you've been anywhere near the NHL in the last two decades, you know the name Alex Ovechkin. Ovi has been known to put out some funny commercials, one that we really enjoyed with Nicholas Backstrom for Mass Mutual, where they're eating some cereal and stuff like that. Mass Mutual decided to pull that that advertisement. CCM decided to pull that ad, another one of their ads with Alexander Ovechkin, due to everything going on with Russia.
Well, it's him and all other Russians that are playing in the NHL. CCM has said they will not or air any advertisements or commercials that have Russian players.
Right. So no Russian players allowed during their ads. Since Ovi is a part of the Washington Capitals, I feel like Coach Jen and I kind of discussed it. We're just kind of – we don't have anything prepared to talk about. We're just kind of going to free flow this and talk a little bit about this. On Sunday, or actually Saturday, it was the afternoon game against the Flyers, and my girlfriend and I, we were in Annapolis kind of enjoying the nice weather, and I was like, all right, there's a game today. Do I wear some Ovi gear? Do I wear an Ovi jersey? And there was a part of me that went, I don't want a Russian guy's name on my back right now. And I love the Caps. I do a podcast, 320 episodes. I've done a podcast about this team. I love this team. I love watching Ovi. I loved hockey before Ovi got here. When Ovi got here, he only intensified my love of hockey. But what's going on in the world right now, it transcends hockey. This is a human rights issue. And Ovi came out and he made a statement when this all happened. And Ovi's in a really tough spot right now. Obviously, that's his home country. He is a fan of Vladimir Putin, It's Vladimir Putin is on his Instagram profile picture. He's come out in the past when Russia has invaded other countries or other places and been in support of Putin and his choices to invade countries like this. But Ovi's kind of in between a rock and a hard place, because yes, he has to be the face of our franchise and say what the NHL wants him to say, but also he can't badmouth Vladimir Putin. If his wife and his kid are over in Russia right now, if he were to come out and condemn Putin, what would happen to his family? So I understand Ovi not coming out and completely condemning what is going on. Just saying there should be no more war. It doesn't matter who it's against. But at the same time, any logical person out there has to see that what's happening between Russia and the Ukraine is not okay. It's a terrible thing. It's 2022 and we're still fighting over land. It's the Dark Ages.
It's not like Russia needs more of it.
So yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to see it from both sides. From the companies going, we don't want Russians in our ads, but I also see it as like Ovi said it. I'm an athlete. I'm not a politician. I don't want to talk politics, which I respect his right to not talk about it. But also, you shouldn't have Putin in your profile picture on Instagram if that's the way you feel. Ovi might not be very savvy tech-wise, might not know how to change it. So I don't know. I would think he would have a team of people to do that for him, but I don't know. But, Coach Dan, what do you think of this whole situation? It's very hard. Like, I'm very happy that I have that W Capitals sweater to wear without a name on the back right now, because I don't know if I could wear an Ovechkin shirt or a jersey right now, even though like it's not his fault this is happening.
It's definitely not his fault. I think that there's no way he wins this situation.
Correct.
And let's all put it out there that the situation he's in is in no way overall a big deal when it comes to his thoughts and views on this. What's going on right now in Ukraine is horrendous. And what's going on there, that's the main issue. People that are attacking NHL players for not speaking out, it's not going to change anything. Unfortunately, if Ovechkin comes out and says Vladimir Putin is a terrorist and he shouldn't be doing this, he needs to stop right now, I don't think Putin's... He might be hurt a little bit because his, you know, alleged buddy told him to doesn't like what he's doing. But he's insane. It's not going to stop there. I can understand... Like you said, you see both sides of it in terms of companies that don't want to have an affiliation with Russian and Belarus-born players. I understand that aspect of it. And for the most part, I support it. They have a business to run. I get it. But I also see it from the player side in terms of they're in a no-win situation right now.
Yeah.
And I know there's people out there going to be like, well, no, he needs to come out and say something. I get that. I agree. When he was talking to the reporters... whoever prepped him did a piss poor job, because a bunch of his answers they're not like bad, but they weren't good. There could have been much better responses. His, you know, no war or I don't want war. Well, yeah, duh. But they should have prepared him to expand upon that a little bit. And he very carefully avoided certain things, which probably was the right thing to do from a PR perspective. The reality is, our climate right now and our population is so polarized that you're not going to win no matter what you say. And I'm looking at an article written by Stephen Wino of the Associated Press. And I believe at the moment there's 41 Russian-born players in the NHL. Only two of them have spoken up about this. Ovechkin and Calgary's Nikita Zadorov. No one else has said anything. But because Ovechkin is who he is, and he's, you know, one of the faces of the NHL now. And for a long time, it was just him and Crosby as the faces for the NHL, or the two biggest faces, I should say. Everyone's going to want to know what his thoughts are. For all we know, Ovechkin fully supports Putin in this war, which would be incredibly disappointing. We don't know if that's true. For all we know, he hates it. There was a quote today from Brian McClellan during his press conference, and Stephen Wino put it in the article here. And he said it's difficult, McClellan that is, said it's difficult for all the Russian players in the league. There's a lot of pressure put on them to have a political opinion either way, and they're trying to balance out how they live their lives and what their political opinions are and the repercussions that could happen back home. It's a difficult situation for these guys. I think that was a really good way to put it, because that's the reality. Let me put it this way. Ovechkin's wife, his kids, and his parents are in Russia. And it's not the only Russian player who have their family back home. Russia right now, my understanding is if you go out and you protest, which a lot of Russians are doing,
right,
you're getting arrested.
Yep.
Now think about it. If you're the family of someone who actually has some sway, maybe not power, but they have, not sway, they have, what's the word I'm looking for here? They have notoriety. It's probably not the right word, but that's what I'm going with right now. I have a 1-month-old. Sleep is not a thing. Anyways, so think about that if you're one of these guys. How much do you want to be put yourself and your family in a tough spot because you've done something or said something that Russia doesn't like? And there's a, I'm trying to find it right now. There's a piece in this article where they're talking about Russian citizens. So there's agents that have spoke to the Associated Press. They said a lot of threats have come on social media, but they don't think like Russian players are in any danger. But there's more of there's legitimate fear for their friends and family back home. And that, you know, Russia right now, I believe they're cracking down heavily on anyone that's criticizing the government over there. Russians, that is. So I can understand why he doesn't want to say more and that he just wants to go about playing the game of hockey. My hope, part of it because I want everyone to think that way, part of it because he's the face of the franchise here, of the team that I like, and the, you know, a player that I associate with. You know, he and I are pretty much the same age. I think his birthday is like six months
September.
After. Yeah, he's like a year younger than me. You know, I would have liked to have him come out and say, stop. That's what Zadorov did. Zadorov went on Instagram and said, no war, stop it. I would have liked Ovechkin. And the fact that he didn't go and change his, he still has, as far as I know, changed his Instagram, at whatever, main picture or whatever it's called. It doesn't look good for him. But it's also, he has the biggest profile of any of these players. The only other one maybe is Malkin, who hasn't said anything as far as I know. Anything that Ovechkin does that would take away something from his affiliation with Putin right now, does that put his family in danger? And there are some people saying, no, it doesn't. I think it very well does. It's not like what this country is that you and I live in, where you can come out and legitimately say racist things and your political party will ignore it. We can go out and protest something if we don't like it. In Russia, it's a lot harder and a lot more dangerous to do something like that. There really are no winners in this situation. Everyone's going to lose in some respect. Ovechkin's loss, he's probably going to lose some endorsements in the U.S. for, you know, something that's not necessarily his fault. If I'm him, am I, you know, and I don't even know how this works because I just don't know. I don't have to live in that world. But, does he try and get his family out? That's also his home. It's where he grew up. It's where his, you know, he's from. That'd be like if someone told me, you know, you need to leave the U.S. Well, you know, I'll go to Vancouver or something. But, you know, or I know it's still the U.S., but I'll go to Hawaii. I'm fine with that. You know, you have to leave your home because it's dangerous. You know, this is where I grew up. You know, friends and family are here. A tough situation is not even a strong enough word. It's a situation where there's no winners. Everyone's going to lose here. But you know what? What he's losing pales in comparison to the people in Ukraine.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else to say except for that. It's a very scary time. You never know what you're going to wake up to. And the people of Ukraine have shown the world that they're strong, that they are putting up a fight, they're courageous, and they're doing everything that they can to not let Russia take their land away. And I think Putin's a little bit scared of that right now. I think he's shocked that number one, they weren't welcomed with open arms, and number two, that they're putting up a fight against him. I don't think he was expecting that. All we can do, I think, is just kind of hope and pray hope that this ends quickly and that it's a peaceful ending, and that, you know, the person that is bombing Holocaust memorials gets out of power and takes his war and I don't even know what to say. This is a terrible, terrible time for everyone in this world. The Ukraine people are showing us how to be strong, and they're showing us to put up a fight, to not just let people bulldoze you and take what is rightfully yours. So it's terrible that it's come to this in this world. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how it's affecting the hockey world later on in the show. But, yeah. All right. Well, I mean, Ukraine, our thoughts and prayers are with you at this time. And let's hope this war ends as quickly as possible. Let's just have it this end. There's no reason for it. So that's it for what's going on in the world right now. Everybody, now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-4 since we last talked. Not great. With wins over Bridgeport and Utica, but losses to Providence, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and Utica. So a little split there with them. Their poor run has dropped them to second in the Atlantic Division with 58 points. 5 points back of first place Springfield, who have a game in hand. They're also only 2 points up on Hartford, who have played four less games. And then Providence is also sitting at 54 points, and they've played seven less games. What is going on with the AHL schedule? That's a dramatic difference. The Bears will attempt to start their winning ways again tonight at the Giant Center against Charlotte before heading on the road to Springfield on Friday. Then they head to Hartford on Saturday. They'll get a few days off before hosting Lehigh Valley on Tuesday. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-6. Yikes! In the past 2 weeks. They're currently tied for last with Norfolk in the South Division, 28 points behind first place Florida. They are going to have to go on one hell of a run to make something of their season. And they're going to attempt to do just that starting on Friday when they host Orlando at the North Charleston Coliseum before doing it again on Saturday. They then host Atlanta on Sunday. Let's jump back up to Hershey, where the Hershey Cubs clinched a playoff spot in the 2022 USPHL Premier Atlantic West Division. That is too many words for a division.
Wow.
Whew. But congrats anyways on to them, on making the playoffs in their very first year. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. Plenty of stuff to talk about. Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL and beyond?
Well, let's start in New York, where congratulations are in order for Zdeno Chara as he set the record for most games played by an NHL defenseman last week at 1,652 games, passing Chris Chelios. Now, a fair amount of people have been fined since we last chatted. Toronto's Michael Bunting, that's a baseball name, was fined $2,000 for diving slash embellishment. Now, this is the second fine that he's got for diving, as he was caught back in November. Dude, clearly you suck at this. Stop it. Dallas's Jamie Benn was fined $5,000 for unsportsmanlike conduct against Chicago's Mackenzie Entwistle. And then Edmonton's Marcus Niemelainen was fined a little over $2,000 for cross-checking Winnipeg's Christian Vesalainen. Huh. That's interesting that two players, somebody got fined and their names rhyme.
That's interesting.
Fun. Yeah, it's interesting. Anyways, let's switch over to the Olympics, which are now over. We had a couple first-time medal winners in men's hockey as Finland defeated Russia 2-1, while Slovakia won bronze, defeating Sweden 4-0.
I love hearing that someone defeated Russia. That's good to hear.
There you go. Five former capitals medaled during the Olympics. Stanislav Galiev won silver as a player for the ROC, while Ilya Kovalchuk was awarded silver as the general manager. Sergei Gonchar and Sergei Fedorov were assistant coaches on that team. And defenseman Michael Yajkovsky won the bronze medal with Slovakia. No idea if I pronounced his last name right.
Did you see Slovakia when they showed up in like town square? It's like that country shut down to welcome the bronze medal winning team.
Yo,
it was crazy.
I wanted them to win gold. They would have shut down that country for like a week.
They really would have. Like. It's crazy.
That would have been insane. In women's hockey, not a lot happened. Canada won gold by defeating the U.S. 3-2. Moving on. USA Hockey announced that the U18 Women's World Championship is back on and will be held in the U.S. in June. Specific dates and locations have not yet been announced. Now, Brandon, he very much would like them to host the tournament in Baltimore at Royal Farms Arena. Again, why is it called ROFO Arena if it's R-O-F-A?
I don't get it either.
Okay. Anyways, I think that's a terrible idea because that arena sucks. It's garbage. Baltimore needs a new arena. Then, not only can they host the tournaments that you would like, but they could also get their very own AHL or ECHL team.
Now listen, if they do the tournament here, they can have half the teams playing at the ROFO Arena and then half at the UMBC Arena. It's easy. Easy.
Or
you got two arenas
arena.
Like within driving distance. Have it here. Bring it here. Let's do it.
Just build a new arena, man.
We need money. Give us a tournament first, then give us some money and then we'll do it.
Find some rich dude who can do it. Who's the guy who owns the Ravens? Build an arena. Come on. He's got a stadium.
He's doing just fine and a castle.
Build it next to it. Now, with the ongoing unprovoked and likely war crime-filled invasion of Ukraine by Russian president and psychopath Vladimir Putin, the International Ice Hockey Federation has announced the following actions against Russia and Belarus. They are suspending all Russian and Belarusian national teams and clubs from participation in every age category in all IIHF competitions or events until further notice. Well done. Now, this means that Russia and Belarus will not be invited, nor will they be allowed to participate in the 2022 Continental Cup, which is from March 4th to the 6th. All of these are in 2022, so I'm going to skip that part. Ice hockey the U18 World Championship from April 21st until May 1st. The World Championships from the 13th to the 29th of May. The U18 Women's World Championship, those dates are to be determined. The World Junior Championship, those dates are also to be determined. Although I think that might be, I think we talk about that in a moment, and that is going to be at the end of December and early January. And then the world Women's World Championship, which will be on August 26th until September 4th. Now, any potential impact of the council's decision on tournament seeding and promotion slash relegation will be announced in the coming weeks.
You know, I mean, again, everything going on with the Ukraine is just absolutely terrible. But I remember when the World Juniors, it was a tournament right before the World Juniors in like mid-December. We actually were commenting about how Belarus had actually qualified for 2023's World Junior Championship. And because of this psychopath's moronic and ego and everything else, these young kids who fought really hard to get into the World Juniors, be on a world stage, don't get to participate because of this guy's ignorance. It's terrible. I mean, literally killing people and literally taking the future away from the youth of his country.
Yeah. I mean, well put. The IIHF also announced the withdrawal of the 2023 IIHF World Junior Championship hosting rights from Russia. The tournament was scheduled to take place from December 26th to January 5th of 2023. The IIHF will initiate discussions in the coming months to find a new host for that tournament. Brandon once again thinks that Baltimore would be a great place for that. Still, you need a new arena. Or, I had the idea, what if you put two outdoor rinks at Camden Yards?
I'm down for that. I like that.
I was going to make a joke about putting them at the Ravens Stadium because they won't be playing in late December and early January, but I thought that was kind of mean. So I won't say it. I'm not saying what you wrote next in the note. So even though I agree with you, moving on. Now, also due to Putin's psychopathic deranged war, the KHL has lost two clubs in Latvians, Dynamo Riga, who have completely withdrawn from the league, and Finnish club Jokerit Helsinki announced that they will be withdrawing from the KHL playoffs. So that's the news for the past 2 weeks in the NHL and beyond.
Yeah, so crazy amounts of news coming out for the last 2 weeks. And it's really, again, we just can't stress enough how terrible this war is and how it's you're literally killing people. And because of your ignorance, you're hurting generations beyond your own ego and your own inability to control yourself and your greed. So just terrible, absolutely terrible. But I do have to say congratulations to Zdeno Chara, one of my all-time favorite hockey players. I mean, I am so happy he at least spent one season with the Washington Capitals. I wish he could have stayed for this season as well, but absolutely astonishing how many games that guy has played. Congratulations to him. Can't say enough good things about Zdeno Chara. He's one of a kind guy in the NHL. So happy for him. So congratulations to Zdeno Chara, even though I can't say his first name right to save my life, but congratulations. Big Z. All right, so that's it for the show this week. If you'd like to continue the conversation with Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking Caps hockey and other things as they make up, talking about Arsenal Football Club, talking about the Bills, the Washington Commanders, and other sports and things as they may come up, or what else. There are fun things popping in my head in the sports world. That's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com. Sorry, Meta.com. Just kidding. That joke probably much run its course by this point. The meta bit. Probably.
Well,
anyways, yeah. Facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod is where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of interesting things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs, and other things related to the National Hockey League and beyond. That's Facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. Brandon and I made a joke about your Baltimore Ravens just a few moments ago. For other people who are mad at me about my joke because they happen to be fans of that purple-clad team, is there a particular podcast they should listen to and enjoy?
Yeah, if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, even though Coach Dan has been to a Baltimore Ravens game and enjoyed himself there, you can listen to my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Will we do one after the Combine this weekend? Probably not. I'm not going to watch it. Who's going to watch 4 days of that? But maybe if there's something fun coming out of that, or Lamar Jackson decides to sign a new contract, maybe we'll bring it up and we'll do an episode of The Call. But you can always find that podcast wherever you find this one. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Go on social media, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. On Thursday, March 3rd, the Washington Capitals are up against the Carolina Hurricanes. You can watch that game at 7 o'clock and only on ESPN Plus and Hulu. So get ready to stream that day. Then the Caps have a day off. Then they're up against the Seattle Kraken on March 5th. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. That's Seattle's first trip to D.C., isn't it? Because they went to Seattle.
Didn't they have one earlier in this season? Or am I thinking of somebody else? No, you're right.
So that's their first time in D.C.? Wow.
Who am I thinking?
And then the Caps have a couple days off, and on my aunt's birthday, March 8th, happy birthday, Aunt Kay, that game is in Calgary. Oh, they start the big Western Canadian road trip, a whole week on the road, a bunch of late games. The Caps are up against the Calgary Flames in Calgary. That game is at 9 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. Back-to-back games. Then on March 9th, the Capitals go to Edmonton up against the Oilers. That is a 8 o'clock game on Wednesday night, rivalry night, and you can watch that nationally on TNT. So ESPN,
that big rivalry with that, Edmonton.
That big rivalry with Edmonton gets the national
Washington,
coverage.
Washington, Edmonton, all those four games they played in the past or something.
And then we will be back and recording on Thursday the 10th. So four games until we talk again. So plenty going on, guys. All right, so that's it for the show this week. Everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Ukraine.